Hello again, this is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of the Jack Benny Show from the 1948-1949 season. Tonight's episode features Ozzie and Harriet Nelson doing a little cameo. And I thought it'd be kind of fun to talk about Ozzie and Harriet Nelson's show because it's such an interesting development that how it came to be. Maybe you heard them a few years ago, both as regulars on the Red Skelton Show. Well, then in 1944, Red Skelton gets drafted into the Army. And so the network says, well, you know, maybe we can create a situation comedy out of the Nelsons' lives. So they do. And this is on CBS. Well, then it gets stolen away at some point by NBC, gets the show, I think just for part of a season, and then CBS gets it back in one of its talent raids. They get it back, and then, of course, now they appear on Jack's show, talking about their show that's going to be on CBS. Well, then, in a fairly short amount of time, they end up getting taken from CBS over to ABC. Which was the NBC's Blue Network, but turned into ABC. Now, ABC picked them up at the right time and did the right thing with them and threw them onto television in 1952, where they would hang out in television for 14 years and be the longest-running live-action sitcom of all time. And 14 years is a huge run. It amazes me when you think about some of these runs of these shows that, and the jockeying of positions to get a show, and then once a network got a show, how long they could make it last. You had Jack's show on for 15 years, Ozzie and Harriet Nelson on for 14 years, Red Skelton on for 20 years. I mean, it was a big deal when they got a hold of these folks that they could use and utilize for decades worth of entertainment and producing money, basically, for the studios. And to think of how many people came in the talent raids that started with Amos and Andy, and then, of course, Jack, and then Red Skelton, like I say, Ozzie and Harriet Nelson, and it's just show after show that gets affected by this. The Lucille Ball Show, I thought that, I Love Lucy, I thought that that was on CBS the whole time, but apparently it wasn't. Apparently CBS also got that show somehow in a as part of the talent raids too, which benefited them amazingly. I mean, it was the show. But we can talk about that some other time, and I'll research it more. But just the more I find about the talent raids, the more amazing it is just how many shows CBS was able to steal from NBC and be able to capitalize on for decades. But without further ado, please enjoy tonight's episode of The Jack Benny Show featuring Ozzie and Harriet Nelson.
The Jack Benny Program, presented by Lucky Strike.
Feeling low.
Feeling tense.
These eight words are common sense.
Smoke a lucky.
To be your level best.
Smoke a lucky.
To be your level best.
Your level best. That's just how you'll feel when you light up a Lucky, because Lucky's fine tobacco picks you up when you're low, calms you down when you're tense, puts you on the right level to feel and do your level best. That's what fine tobacco can do for you. And LSMFT, LSMFT, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. Smooth, mild, thoroughly enjoyable tobacco. So next time you buy cigarettes, ask for a carton of Lucky Strike and get on the right level, the lucky level, where you feel your best and do your best. Yes, smoke a lucky to feel your level best.
The Lucky Strike program, starring Jack Benny, with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, as you all know, this is the first week of spring. So let's go out to Jack Benny's home in Beverly Hills, where we find Rochester doing the spring cleaning.
The vacuum's going, the dust is blowing, 'cause Benny's house must be clean. He doesn't really want his house clean, just makes me work because he's mean.
Rochester.
The dirt may linger, won't lift his finger, all day in bed he reclines. But then in bed he has to recline, he isn't really 39.
Rochester.
Hello, boss.
Hello.
Hello, boss.
Hello, Polly. Well, Rochester, I'm glad to see you're doing the spring cleaning. The house looks... Rochester, where are those pretty lace curtains we had on the windows?
Those were cobwebs. I brushed them off.
Well, if the house is that dusty, it's your fault.
No, it isn't, boss. I could clean the house in no time if I could use the feather duster.
The feather duster? Well, why don't you use it?
It's spring. At this time of year, Polly falls in love with it.
Oh. Rochester, you're imagining things.
No, boss, she even talks to it.
Polly talks to the feather duster?
Yeah, this morning she stuck her head out of the cage and said, "Don't just stand there in the corner, come up and see me sometime."
Look.
I even had to put the duster in her cage to keep her happy.
Now, that's ridiculous. Now, go get it out of the cage and clean up the room.
Well... okay. Hello, Polly. I'm sorry, but I have to take the duster. Now, let go of it.
The sky is blue, the night is cold.
Let go, Polly. I gotta get the duster.
The moon is old, but love is old.
Let go.
This eager heart of mine is singing.
There, I got it.
Lover, come back to me.
Rochester, now that you got the feather duster, clean the chandelier.
I tried to, boss, but I can't reach it.
Well, I'll do it. Now, bend down, and I'll stand on your back.
Huh?
Go on, bend down.
Like this?
Yeah, bend down a little more. That's good. Now, let me get up on your back. Easy. Hold it. There. Okay, Rochester, hold still now while I dust the chandelier.
Coming, coming!
Rochester!
Ooh. Hello, Rochester.
Oh, hello, Miss Livingston. Come on in.
Thanks. I just came over to... Oh, hello, Phil. I didn't know you were here.
That's Mr. Benny lying on the floor.
Jack, what happened?
Nothing. Anyway, Mary, I meant to call you. We aren't going to be able to rehearse today because I have something very important to do.
Well, I'm glad I came over anyway. I got a letter from my mother, and I wanted you to hear it.
A letter from your mother, eh? Well, what does the Ali Khan of Plainfield have to say?
Well, just a minute, I'll read it to you.
Okay.
My darling daughter Mary, just a few lines to let you know that everybody in the family is feeling fine except Susie, our cow.
The cow?
She's been sick for the past 2 months now, and your father wishes she would get well so he can have his side of the bed back.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry our cow is sick, but she certainly makes the room look better. I've always wanted an early American bed, so as long as she's lying on her back, I'm using her four legs to hold up a canopy.
Leave it to your mother.
Of course, it isn't easy milking the cow in this position. You have to squeeze harder than usual because you're fighting gravity.
Gee, where do you put the bucket?
Quiet, Jack. However, your father doesn't know his own strength. This morning he squeezed so hard, the milk shot up, ripped through the canopy, and wrote Honest John on the ceiling.
Now that's silly. Your mother, I don't know, your mother is just silly.
You know, Mary, we've had a very long winter, but we knew it was coming. Because on February 2nd, when the groundhog came out of his hole, he saw your sister Babe and ran back in again.
I knew she could do it.
No other news, but tell Jack we're going to see the picture he produced, The Lucky Stiff, at the Earl Theater in Philadelphia next week.
Well?
That is, we'll go to Philadelphia if the cow gets well. We haven't got a car, you know. Much love, Mama.
You know, Mary, I'm proud of that picture. Claire Trevor was in it, and she just won an Academy Award. Come in! Oh, hello, Dennis.
Congratulate me, Mr. Benny. Congratulate me.
Congratulate you?
My aunt won an Academy Award.
Your aunt?
Yeah, she went to the hospital last week, and yesterday she came home with little Oscar.
Oh, you mean your aunt had a baby and they named it Oscar? Hey, your uncle must be very proud. Is it their first child?
No, they have six and three more are on the way.
What? Three more children are on the way?
Yeah, they're coming by bus from Fresno.
Oh, then they have nine children now.
That's right, five boys and three girls.
Well, that's very... Wait a minute. Five boys and three girls? Dennis, that's only eight.
One of them got on the wrong bus.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Look, Dennis.
Well, say, Mr. Benny, are we going to rehearse today?
No, kid, because I have to leave in a little while. Anyway, while you're here, let me listen to the song you're going to do on the program.
Oh, okay.
Again, this couldn't happen again. This is that once in a lifetime. This is the thrill divine. What's more, this never happened before. Oh, I have prayed for a lifetime that such as you would suddenly be mine, mine to hold as I'm holding you now, and yet never so near, mine to have when the now and the here disappear. What matters, or when this doesn't happen again, we'll have this moment forever, but never, never again. Mine to hold as I'm holding you now, and yet never so near. Mine to have when the now and the here disappear. What matters, dear, for when this doesn't happen again, we'll have this moment forever, but never, never again.
That was a very good song, Dennis. What's the title of it?
Again.
Oh. Oh, again.
I'm dedicating it to my aunt.
Good.
Say, Jack, as long as we're not going to have rehearsal today, I think that I'll run along.
Come in.
Hiya, Jackson.
Hello, Livy, you specimen of what a young man's fancy turns to.
Hello, Phil.
Hiya, Phil. Say, I told you rehearsal was called off. What are you doing here?
Well, look, Jackson, I started out to do some shopping in Beverly Hills, and I left home without a dime. So would you cash this check for me?
Well, I don't know if I can, Phil. How much is the check for?
I don't know. Read it. Alice made it out.
Oh.
Here.
Phil, Alice made this check out for $100.
Yeah, I was a good boy all week.
What are you going to buy, Phil?
Well, I want to get 50 feet of copper coils for my car.
Copper coils for your car?
I'm putting in draft beer.
Oh, fine. Draft beer.
Yeah, I'll have the only hydromatic with a head on it. Oh, Harris, you ought to put some Blue Jay on your tongue. It's so corny. You
You can say that again, Wanga.
Well, look, Yonkle, how about it? Can you cash my check for me?
Well, I'm sorry, Phil. I haven't got that much money on me.
Phil, if you want a loan of a few dollars, I can help you out.
Nah, that ain't necessary, Libby. I'll forget about the shopping. All I'll do is go get myself a haircut.
I thought you said you were broke. Can't get a haircut without any money.
Jackson, they cut my hair just for the thrill of it.
What a hammy guy.
You know, Jack, Phil has a right to be conceited. He always looks so nice. Look at the way his clothes fit him, and look at his socks. They're bright without being loud.
I'm glad you like them, Livy. Alice knitted them for me. They're gargoyle.
That's our guy! Well, a gargoyle is something ugly.
Well, they ain't gonna hang these in no art museum. So long, straight man. See you again, Liv, you pretty thing.
Bye, Phil.
Goodbye, goodbye. Say, Mary, it looks like it might rain. Gee, look at that dark cloud hiding the sun.
That's a shadow. Don Wilson's coming up the walk.
Oh, yes.
Bye, Phil. Where are you going?
Down to get a haircut. I'd save you a curl, but they're all promised.
Hey, Don! Don!
Right with you, Jack. Come on, boys.
Say, Don, I told you over the phone we weren't going to rehearse today. Why'd you bring the quartet over?
Well, Jack, there's something the sportsmen want me to talk to you about.
The sportsmen quartet? What is it?
Well, they've been with you now for 4 years, and they came over to ask you for a raise.
Oh, they have, eh?
Jack, I'm going to leave.
Why?
I can't stand the sight of blood.
Mary, there isn't going to be any bloodshed. Don, how much of a raise do the boys want?
I'll ask them. How much do you want, boys? No, boys, I don't think you'll go that high. I don't know about that either. Well, I don't know.
We'll talk about that one. That sounds reasonable.
Well, thanks, Jack.
Now, what kind of a number have they got prepared for the program?
Well, since this is the first week of spring, the boys have something appropriate for this time of year.
For spring? Good, good. Now, hold it a minute, fellas. Hello?
Hello, Jack. This is Ozzie Nelson.
Oh, hello, Ozzie.
Jack, I just called to tell you that next week Harriet and I are going to start doing our program on CBS.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, Ozzie. What day are you going to be on?
A Sunday.
Well, I think that's... Sunday? Ozzie?
Yes?
What time on Sunday?
Right ahead of yours.
Phew. For a minute, I... A minute, I thought I was going to have to sue somebody. What a relief, huh?
Hello?
Hello, huh?
Hello? Hello?
Is that you on the extension, Harriet?
Yes, Ozzie. Ozzie, would you mind hanging up? I've got to make a phone call.
But, Harriet, I'm talking to...
I don't care who you're talking to. I've got to find out where our laundry hasn't come back yet.
Well, I've got him on the phone now. Ask him.
I was going to call you about that, Harriet.
Oh, hello, Jack.
Hello, Harriet. I was going to call you about the laundry. There'll be a little delay because I scorched your underwear.
My underwear?
Yes, the ones with the lace.
Oh, those are Ozzie's.
Oh, then the H stands for his. I thought it was Harriet.
Uh, Jack, since Harriet brought up the subject, I'd like to make a complaint.
What is it, Ozzie? We're always open for suggestions, you know.
Well, Jack, you've been putting a little too much starch in our underwear.
Too much starch?
Yes. You see, we don't mind it on Sundays because we have to stand up at the microphones anyway.
Uh-huh.
But on weekdays, we like to relax.
Oh, well, then I'll try to cut down on the starch.
I wish you would. Every time Ozzie sits down, it sounds like he's cracking his knuckles.
Well, I'll take care of it. And congratulations on coming over to CBS. I'll be listening to your first show next Sunday.
Well, thanks, Jack.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Rochester, a little less starch in the Nelson's laundry. And say, Don, why is the quartet standing there with their mouths open?
Well, just before the phone rang, you told them to sing.
Oh, yes, that spring song. Go ahead, fellas, let's hear it.
The flowers that bloom in the spring, tra-la, the flowers that bloom in the spring. As we merrily dance and we sing, tra-la, we welcome the hope that they bring, tra-la, of a summer of roses and wine, of a summer of roses and wine. But it's not of the flowers that we want to sing, 'cause they can't compare with this message we bring. Tobacco that grows in the spring, tra-la, tobacco that grows in the spring. It grows in Kentucky, tra-la, tra-la, it's put in a lucky, tra-la, tra-la. So if you're feeling low or you're tense, gents, to light up a lucky makes sense. And that's what we mean when we say that a thing is welcome as flowers that bloom in the spring. Tra-la-la-la-la, tra-la-la-la-la, tobacco that grows in the spring.
That was very good, boys, very good. But you'll have to excuse me now, fellas. I have to leave. I'm taking the Beverly Hills Beavers out on a hike.
Oh, where are you going, Jack?
Oh, out in the woods camping, and, well, you know, the kids will get a big kick out of it. Gee, I'm kind of late now. I better get my knapsack and hurry.
Gee, fellas, I hope Mr. Benny gets here soon.
Me too. I'd be afraid to go on this hike and sleep out overnight if Mr. Benny wasn't going to be with us.
Yeah. We may run into a mountain lion or a wildcat. I wonder if Mr. Benny will bring a rifle along.
Nah, if he can't whip it with his bare hands, bullets won't help.
Yeah. Remember how he told us how he used to wrestle alligators for a living till the Humane Society made him stop?
Well, I still think we'd have more fun if we went without him.
Look, Butch, you're a new member in the Beavers. You don't know how helpful Mr. Benny is.
That's right. Remember our last hike, fellas? When Mr. Benny showed us how to trap that little animal with a white stripe down its back?
Yeah. And then we didn't have another meeting for the next 6 months.
I don't care what you fellas say. I think Mr. Benny is one of the best beavers in the club.
Well, if he's such a loyal beaver, how come he didn't attend our meeting last Thursday night?
That wasn't his fault. He had to go to the Academy Awards.
For what? He wasn't going to get nothing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I heard my mother and father talking about the Academy Awards, and my mother knew Jane Wyman was going to win it for Johnny Belinda, and she didn't even talk in the picture.
So what?
My father said that if Mr. Benny would keep his mouth shut, he might win something, too.
Butch, as president of the Beavers, I fine you 2 cents for that remark.
Fine my old man, he said it.
Well, hello, fellas.
Hello, Brother Beaver.
You know, I'm looking forward to this hike. I love the great outdoors, fishing and hunting. You know, hunting used to be one of my favorite sports. I bagged some big game in my time.
Gee, Mr. Benny, did you ever hunt bear?
Why, yes, Stevie. Hey. Hey, wait a minute. Ask me that again, Stevie.
Did you ever hunt bear?
No, he wore his red flannels. Now let's get going.
All right. Beavers, fall into formation. Forward. March. Hop, hop, drop, four. Hop, hop, drop, four. Hop, hop, drop, four. Hop, hop, drop. Phew. Gee, we've been hiking for 2 hours now, fellas. Anyone feel tired?
Not me, Mr. Benny.
Well, I'm okay. I feel fine.
Well, I'm beginning to feel a little tired.
Would you like to stop for a rest, Joey?
No, I'll be all right if you'll carry your own knapsack.
Oh, sure, sure. Now, let's stop here a minute. There's a pebble in my shoe that's bothering me.
Okay, Beavers. At ease.
I'll sit down here on this rock and take off my shoe. There. Dues from the last meeting. I'll be with you in a minute, kid, as soon as I pick up the money and put my shoes back on.
Hey, Stevie.
What?
This guy would drive a pickpocket crazy.
All right, Beavers, let's move along. Hey, look, fellas, why don't we camp near this stream?
Yeah, but it looks much nicer on the other side.
All right, the stream is only about 6 feet wide. We can all jump it, can't we, Beavers?
Sure!
I'll go first.
You made it, Stevie. Now you go, Joey. Good boy. Now you, Cliff. Nice jump. Now you, Butch. Fine. Now here I go. Hey, fellas, how about camping on this side of the street? Huh?
Jump it, are you?
Of course not. Step back and give me room when I land. Here goes. One, two, three. I made it. I made it.
Yeah, but your hair didn't.
What?
Hey, look at Elaine there, Phils. It looks like a squirrel that didn't eat all winter.
Never mind, Butch. Now look, Beavers, let's all put up our pup tents. Then after dinner, we'll sit around the campfire in our pajamas, and I'll tell you a story. And there I was alone in this lion-infested African jungle. My plight was desperate. I had no weapons. But I wasn't afraid. It was dark and ominously quiet. And suddenly, behind me, I heard a... Yipe! Stevie, stop popping your gum!
I'm sorry, Mr. Benny. I was excited. I want to hear how you got out of it.
So do I, but I'm not popping my gum. Now, where was I?
In the African jungle.
Oh, yes. When I heard a twig snap, I whirled around, and there I stood face to face with a Bengal tiger. So I
went... Wait a minute, Mr. Benny.
Huh?
There ain't no Bengal tigers in Africa.
Not usually, no. But this tiger won 2 glorious weeks on a quiz program. They also painted his jungle inside and out. Now, look, boys, you've all been up a half hour later than you should, so I'll finish my story tomorrow. I think we should all get into our pup tents and go to sleep.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm tired.
I'm sleepy, too.
I'm not tired. I don't want to go to sleep yet.
What's the matter, Joey? Is there anything wrong?
Well, this is the first time I ever stayed away from home all night. I'm scared.
But, Joey, there's nothing to be scared of. I'm here.
I don't care. I'm scared anyway. Can I sleep in your tent with you, Mr.
Bennett? No, I'll be in the tent next to you. Come on now, you got to be brave. How do you ever expect to grow up and be president of the United States?
Who wants to be president? Your wife won't even let you wear a bathing suit.
Well, that's not so important. Now, come on, Beavers. I want you all to go to bed, and I'll see you in the morning.
Okay. Good night, Mr. Benny.
Good night, Joey, and don't be frightened.
I won't.
Good night, fellow Beavers.
Good night, Mr. Benny.
Now, let's see. Now, this is my tent right here. Ah, gee, it's good to lie down. The hike sure tired me out. What's that? Must be a coyote. There's no wolves around here. I don't think. Move over, Joey. I'm coming in with you. I don't want you to be frightened. Good night.
Good night, Mr. Benny. How'd you like my imitation of a coyote?
Oh, was that you? Thank goodness. I mean, good night. Good night, Joey.
Jack, we'll be back in just a moment, but first...
Feeling tense.
These eight words are common sense.
Smoke-a-lucky.
To be your level best.
Smoke-a-lucky.
To be your level best.
Yes, Lucky's Fine Tobacco picks you up when you're low, calms you down when you're tense. Put you on the right level to feel and do your level best.
That's why it's so important for you to select and smoke the cigarette of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike. Remember,
LSMFT, LSMFT.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco.
No wonder more independent tobacco experts, auctioneers, buyers, and warehousemen smoke Lucky Strike regularly than the next two leading brands combined. Yes, Luckies are the overwhelming choice of the men who really know tobacco.
So when you choose your cigarette, remember that Luckies Fine Tobacco picks you up when you're low, calms you down when you're tense, puts you on the right level to feel your best and do your best.
Smoke a Lucky
to feel your level best.
Yes, that's how to get on the lucky level. Next time you buy cigarettes, ask for a carton of Lucky Strike.
Smoke a Lucky
to feel your level best.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Save that.
Good health to all from Rexall. Yes, it's Sunday, time for the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, presented by the makers of Rexall Drug Products and 10,000 independent Rexall Family Druggists.
Good evening. This is your Rexall Family Druggist taking a little time from behind the prescription counter this Sunday evening to speak for all 10,000 of us, the 10,000 independent druggists who have added the word Rexall to our own store names. You can always tell us by the orange and blue Rexall sign on our windows. The sign means that we carry the 2,000 or more drug products made by the Rexall Drug Company. They range all the way from aspirin to penicillin, and they're as fine and pure and dependable as science can make them. We independent druggists recommend them to our customers because we know you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
Good health to all from Rexall. Now you're your Rexall Family Druggist brings you the Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show, written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevrolet, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Robert North, Walter Scharf and his music, yours truly, Bill Foreman, and starring Alice Faye and Phil Harris. For the first time in months, Phil has a chance to get away for a short trip. He's planned to take a real man's vacation, but at the last minute, Alice decided to go with him. And as we look in, they're all packed and ready to leave.
Well, I got everything loaded in the car. We'll be ready to leave pretty soon. Alice, are you sure you want to go with me?
Oh, I can hardly wait, Phil. This trip will be like a second honeymoon. Gee, it's going to be romantic.
If you say so.
And, honey, on the way down, you can put your arm around me like you did on our first honeymoon.
Hey, I got a better idea. We can sit in the back of the car and smooch a little.
Would be kind of nice to... Say, wait a minute. If we're both going to be in the back, who's going to be driving?
Oh, I forgot to tell you, honey, Frankie's going with us.
Frankie's going to Palm Springs with us?
Oh, we ain't going to Palm Springs.
Why not?
Oh, Frankie don't like it there. You know, he's allergic to the heat. When he sits out in the sun, he gets fried.
I've seen him sit in a dimly lit room and get in the same condition. Where are we going on our vacation, or hasn't Lord Remley decided yet?
Yeah, he decided. He wants us to go hunting in the High Sierras.
Now, Phil Harris, you've got to make a decision. Frankie wants to go to the High Sierras, and I want to go to Palm Springs. Now, whom are you going to please, Frankie or me?
Me. We're going fishing at Lake Henshaw.
But, Phil, I want to go to Palm Springs. If we don't go there, I just won't go with you. Or don't you want me to go?
How can you say that? What fun is it for two guys to go long fishing without a woman nagging, I mean tagging along? Why, I wouldn't want you to miss the fun of sleeping outdoors on the hard, cold ground or eating soggy, cold, fried eggs.
Oh,
and just think of the thrill you'll get when you're baiting our hooks with those nice, fat, squirmy worms.
Faints every time somebody mentions worms. Phil, are you all right?
Yeah, yeah, I'll be okay. Alice, don't ever let me say that word again. Look, honey, can't we please go fishing?
All right, we'll go fishing. After all, it's your vacation. I'd rather go to Palm Springs, but I won't be obstinate.
Now you're talking like my baby, you pretty thing. You know something? You're being big about this, and to show you my appreciation, I'm going to do something big for you. I'm going to kiss you. Pucker up.
Good morning, Philip.
Go away, Brownie. We've already bought some Girl Scouts. We don't need nothing. Come here, Alice.
Philip.
What now?
How many times have I asked you not to kiss my sister in front of me? You know it makes me nauseous.
Willie, if you don't mind, I like to have Phil kiss me.
Why?
Well, because... Well, because it's... Well, it's... That is it.
Well, think of something, will you? You never had to think before we were married.
Let's not waste time talking. Let's get started on our trip.
We'll get started when... Our trip.
Yes, Alice invited me to go along. I have the whole thing planned. We'll go to Ensenada for the Grunion Run.
Willie, I don't think the Grunion Run in March.
Oh, yes, Alice. The Grunion are running in Ensenada next week.
I don't care if they're running or not. I ain't interested in seeing no Mexican track meet.
A Grunion Run is not a track meet. A grunion is a vertebrate member of the species Piscatorial.
Oh, you're joshing me.
No, really, it's of the species Piscatorial.
Believe me, it's better off as a track meet. Now, we're going fishing at Lake Henshaw, and I don't want you along because you bother me.
Oh, but Phil, we're only going fishing. He won't get in your way.
The heck he won't. Frankie and me took him fishing with us last time, and it was very annoying. We spent most of the time dragging him back in a boat.
Why? Did he fall overboard?
No, we kept getting him confused with the live bait.
I want to go to Ensenada.
And I want to go to Palm Springs.
I tell you, we're going to Lake Henshaw.
Well, if everybody's ready, let's leave for the High Sierras. I can't wait to get started hunting.
Frankie, I told you we're not going to the High Sierras. Remley.
Hmm?
What are you made up for?
This is my hunting outfit. Buckskin jacket, coonskin cap, powder horn, and flintlock.
Thank you, Gabby Hayes. Of all the ridiculous costumes, why have you got your guitar strung over your shoulder?
Oh, I use that as a lure. When I play Ain't She Sweet in B-flat, it sounds like a perfect moose call.
You could play that thing in any key and it'd sound like a moose call. Remley, I told you we're not going hunting. I've decided that we're going fishing.
You've decided? Curly, you're being very selfish. You're not the only one involved. The least you can do is consider somebody else's feeling. Like your dear wife. Alice, do you want to go hunting or fishing?
I want to go to Palm Springs.
Who asked you?
Doesn't anybody care what I want to do?
No!
No!
Hey, Curly, don't tell me this is going, too.
Yeah, this is going. We got to take him fishing with us.
What for? You know, the fish kept throwing him back last time.
We'll sharpen his ears and use him for an anchor.
Why do you two always pick on me?
Willie, why do you let them pick on you? If it were me, I'd haul off and punch them right in the nose.
Well, I know, Alice, but you're stronger than I am. But just you fellas wait till I get my dynamic tension course. Then I'll take you two bullies and I'll thrash you.
All right, Louie, drop that gun. Get lost, Mammy Yoakum. We'll whip up a batch of gingerbread men. Get away from me.
Oh, this is going to be a Jim Dandy vacation. A very congenial group of enemies.
I still think we ought to go to Ensenada.
Ensenada?
Yeah, Ensenada. He wants to go down there and watch the bunions run. Now, come on, if everybody's ready, let's get going, huh? And please, let's not have any more arguments. I got the park parked out in front, and I'd like to get started so we can get there before dark.
Oh, Phil, I'd like to stop at Mother's to see how the children are behaving.
Oh, well, don't worry about the children, Alice. Mother took them down to City Hall this morning for the ceremonies.
Ceremonies? Are they getting married?
Don't be silly. No, it's boys' week in town, and the boys are taking over all the official positions today.
Oh.
Hey, Frankie. Hey, kid, we're going to have a wonderful time.
Yeah?
Yeah, I got fishing equipment for everybody, and Remley, now what? You can leave that gun here. You won't need it for fishing, and I don't want no loaded gun in the car.
Curly, please, I know better than to walk around with a loaded gun. I don't have shells in here. I'll show you.
Remley, don't fire that thing.
I tell you, it's not loaded. Look. Hey? Bet you all thought it was going to go off. I know what I'm doing every minute. I'm an expert with guns. And I got to have this slow trigger fixed.
What are you trying to do? Get us all arrested? Now, come on, let's get in the car. It's getting late, and we got a 5-hour drive ahead of us.
Phil, what's that card tied to your steering wheel?
The card? I don't know. I'll see. Oh, it's an invitation. It says they want me in traffic court tomorrow morning to... Oh, no! Oh, no, a parking ticket in front of my own house. I'm just going to ignore it.
Curly, you have to obey the law. When you get a ticket, you got to answer it.
But this ticket says I got to be in court tomorrow morning. That'll ruin our vacation.
Tear it up.
Phil, you can't tear it up or ignore it. Why don't you go down to City Hall and pay the fine now? It'll only take a few minutes.
I'll go down there, but I ain't going to pay no fine. I'm going to raise the roof.
Phil, just pay the fine. Don't start anything or they're liable to throw you in jail.
Let them throw me in jail. I know my rights. I'm going down to that City Hall and tell them off. Come on.
East is east and west is west, and the wrong one I have chose. Let's go where I'll keep on wearing those frills and flowers and buttons and bows and rings and things and buttons and bows. Don't bury me in this prairie, take me where the cement grows. Let's move down to some big town with a loving gal by the cut of her clothes, and I'll stand out in buttons and bows.
We'll love you in buckskin or skirts that you've homespun.
Oh, but I'll love you longer, stronger, where your friends don't tote a gun. My bones denounce the buckboard bounce, and the cactus hurts my toes. Let's bamboos where gals keep using those silks and satins and linens it shows, and I'm all yours with buttons and bows.
Home on the range doesn't mean a thing to me.
How's the city's where I feel at home, and not the lone prairie. My bones denounce the buckboard bounce, and the cactus hurts my toes. Let's bamboos where gals keep using those silks and satins and linen that shows, and I'm all yours in buttons and bows.
Give me eastern trim,
where women are women in high silk hose and peekaboo clothes and French perfume
that rocks the room,
and I'm all yours
in buttons and bows.
Fine wife. Her husband faces a jail sentence and she sings.
Oh, come on, Remley. Alice, you and Willie wait in the car. We'll only be a few minutes in City Hall.
Now, Phil, please don't offend the police commissioner.
Don't worry. Remley, I ain't going to see no police commissioner. I'm going over his head and see the mayor. I know I'll get a square deal from him. I'll see... Remley, why are you still carrying that gun?
It's for you. In case they put you in jail, you can blast your way out.
Don't be funny at a time like this, huh? Let's go in.
Hey, Curly, what are all these kids doing here?
I don't know. Willie said something about Boys Week. Here's the mayor's office. I ain't gonna have no trouble with him. He's a good Joe, and he'll give me a square deal. Mr. Mayor, I...
Take your hat off when you talk to me, Mike!
Julius, what are you doing behind the mayor's desk?
This is Boys Week, and I've been appointed mayor.
You're the mayor?
Yeah, and don't let me catch you guys tapping my wires. Now, what do you want?
Well, it's this way, Julius.
I'll thank you to address me as your royal highness.
Your royal highness?
Don't stand there, peasants. Kneel down.
Hey, Curly, step to one side. I want to get a bead on him.
No. You can't do that in here.
Don't talk till you got my permission. Now, state your case and make it snappy. I'm in a surly mood today.
Well, I came to see you about a ticket.
$50 or 50 days?
I didn't tell you what it's for yet.
I got no time for details.
Oh, come on, Curly. We won't get any square deal here.
I hate that and I resent it. Just state your case and I assure you that I'll hand down a just decision. Now, let me hear your entire story.
Okay. My car was parked outside. It wasn't moving. The motor was dead.
Guilty of murder in the first degree.
Will you stop that? Look, Julius, I mean your royal highness. I got a ticket that says I got to be in court tomorrow and, well... Well, I can't be, so I want to pay my fine now.
Why can't you be in court tomorrow?
I'm driving up to Lake Henshaw for 5 days to do a little fishing.
Well, if you want to go fishing, I ain't going to spoil your vacation. If you want to drive up to Lake Henshaw, go ahead. I'll let you pay your fine now.
Oh, thank you, Julius. What's the fine?
I'm revoking your driver's license for 5 days.
Now, you can't do that. Look, Julius,
now,
I'm going to...
Curly, don't argue with him. Oh. Give him your license. You don't need it. I'll drive.
Okay. Then you can drive us up to Henshaw.
Oh, I forgot to tell you. I got a special driver's license. It only allows me to drive when I'm going in the direction of the High Sierras.
All right. So we'll go, huh?
Good. Let's get started.
Not so fast! Mr. Remley, what are you doing carrying that rifle in the city limits?
I'm taking it to go hunting.
$50 for carrying a concealed weapon!
This gun ain't concealed. I'm carrying it in the open. You can see it.
Not when I close my eyes like this.
Sorry, Mr. Remley, but the law says I gotta revoke your hunting license.
Joke's on you, Junior. You can't revoke my hunting license because I haven't got one.
Well, I gotta revoke something. So I'll revoke your driver's license.
Julius, I'm warning
you. All right, Remley. Let me handle it. Julius, look. I know you don't care about us, but Mrs. Harris is gonna be with us. And you don't want to spoil my wife's vacation, do you?
His wife? What a golden opportunity. I hereby revoke your marriage license.
Why, you little...
You'll be quiet and I'll revoke your birth certificate, too.
Oh, this is going to be a great vacation. This is fine. I can't go fishing or hunting. I can't drive. I'm not married. And if I say one word more, I won't even be born.
Oh, Julius, be a sport, will you? Give me back my license so we can go hunting.
I don't want it. I think hunting is cruel.
What's cruel about it? The animal has the same chance that we have. Sometimes the animal's got the advantage. Like when Elmer went after the bear. Do you know what happened to him?
No, what did happen? Tell me all about it, Mac.
Now Elmer Jones arose at dawn and put his hunting breeches on, then looked up at the shotgun on the wall. He made his mind up then and there to bag himself a hunk of bear at hunting. He had plenty on the ball. He milked the cow and fed the hog, then kissed his wife and called the dog, picked up his gun and started on his quest. He crossed the creek and hit the trees, threw back his head and sniffed the breeze, let out a yell and pounded on his chest.
Here comes Elmer, Elmer's got his gun. Here comes Elmer, run, bear, run.
He hunted all the morning through, but not a bear came into view while Elmer's thoughts were on the kitchen range. For he was sick as he could be of lamb and chicken fricassee and craved a mess of bear meat for a change. Poor Elmer's mind was in a fog. He paused and sat down on a log to get his faculties back in a groove. Heard a noise, and standing there before him was a grizzly bear, and figured it was time he made his move.
Here comes Elmer, Elmer's got his gun. Here comes Elmer, run, bear, run.
He grabbed his gun and turned around, but Mr. Bear just stood his ground, and Elmer said, it's either me or thou. The gun refused to go, and so he knew that somebody had to go, and said, farewell, I'm leaving as of now. Then Elmer's shoulders sprouted wings, his feet developed inner springs. To linger longer, he was disinclined. He ran so fast through muck and mire, his ankles set his socks afire. But still that bear kept coming on by.
Here comes Elmer, Elmer's got his gun. Here comes Elmer, run, bear, run.
A deer with antlers 8 feet wide got in the way of Elmer's stride as both of them went heading for the brush. Then Elmer said, now listen, son, if that's the fastest you can run, move over, because I'm really in a rush. The bear was gaining inch by inch and finally reached out for the clinch as Elmer saw the fence around his place. He leaped the fence and landed hard, jumped 60 feet across the yard and slammed the kitchen door in Bruin's face.
Here comes Elmer, Elmer's got his gun. Here comes Elmer, run, bear, run.
The bear was trying to get inside while Elmer sought a place to hide, and Mrs. Jones began to pull her hair. She said, this fuss has got to stop. Why don't you let that matter drop? And Elmer said, honey, you go tell it to the bear. Then Elmer's wife said, listen, goon, how come you think you're Daniel Boone whose appetite on bear meat used to thrive? He said, I'm sure that you're aware that Daniel always killed his bear, but honey, I done brought this baby home alive.
Here comes Elmer. Elmer's got his gun. Here comes Elmer. Run, Bear, run!
Well, that's what happened to Elmer. How'd you like the song, Julius?
$50 for this diamond apiece.
Now, let me tell you something. You can't get away with this. Besides, I ain't got $50 on me.
Ain't got 50 bucks, huh? Well, in that case, you'll have to leave that gun here as security.
It's my gun, and I'm not going to give it to anybody.
Frankie.
Hmm?
If the mayor wants your gun, give it to him. Let him have it.
Yeah. See what you mean. And just to make sure it isn't loaded, before we leave, I'll pull the trigger. Like this.
Here's the gun, Julius. Come on, Curly.
How long do you think it'll take, Frankie?
Oh, should go off before I can say Jack Robinson.
Nice and quiet in here. Do you think maybe...
Help! Help! Stop them two anarchists! They tried to assassinate the mayor!
We should have known birdshot couldn't pierce his ornery little hide. Come on, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
Now, look, let's get started on our trip before we get pinned.
How are we going to go on a trip when both of us had our license taken away?
We'll let Alice drive.
Alice? Please, Curly, I'd like to get there in one piece. She don't drive a car, she aims it.
Stop worrying, will you? She ain't hit nothing in weeks. She'll get us there.
Where have you fellows been?
Yes, what took you so long?
Oh, Julius is the mayor, honey, this week. And he revoked our driver's license, so get behind the wheel. You'll have to drive.
Oh, you mean you fellows are not allowed to drive? You mean I'll be at the wheel and the car will have to go wherever I aim it?
Yeah. Yeah, now let's get started for Lake Henshaw.
Lake Henshaw? Oh, what a naive little character I'm married to.
Oh, goody, Alice. If they can't drive, that means we can go to Ensenada.
Pipe down, you grunion chaser. Palm Springs, here we go.
All right. So we'll go to Palm Springs, but let's get started.
Alice? Be careful how you drive. You know, you're pretty reckless and you don't...
Please, Frankie, don't tell me how to drive. I know exactly
what
I'm doing.
Alice, don't turn around and talk to him. Look where Alice... Oh, Alice, look out for that car. Look out.
Ooh, what a crash. Alice, you all right?
Yes, I'm all right. Phil, are you okay?
Oh, yeah. I always ride with my head in the glove department. I didn't know that car was that big.
I heard. I was afraid.
Fenders went everywhere.
Everywhere.
Alice, look at the car. Now you've wrecked it and spoiled my whole vacation.
Oh, I'm sorry, Phil. Do you hate me, lover?
Well, I never thought of it before, but I'm starting to work on it now.
Well, I guess now we can't go anyplace.
Correction, lady. You're going someplace. That was my police car you hit, and you're spending the next few days in the cooler. Come along with me.
All right, officer, just wait a minute now. You can't arrest her. I'm married to her, and I won't let you take her.
Oh, you won't, huh? Just for that wise guy, you can spend a few days in the same cell with your wife.
Well, I'd like to, but I couldn't. People will talk.
Why?
Well, you see, the mayor just revoked our marriage license, and she is no longer my wife. Take her away, officer.
No!
Goodbye, lady. I tell you, Frankie, women should never be able to drive a car.
They should be taught a lesson.
You can't let us have it. They never...
Alice and Phil will be back in just a moment. But right now, our Rexall family druggist has a customer.
Have you noticed how I always ask for Rexall drug products lately?
Indeed I have, ma'am, and I'm very happy about it.
It's those wonderful laboratory tests the Rexall people make on their different drug products that convinced me. I'm glad you told me about them.
Then maybe I'd better tell you something else. A lot of Rexall drug products get much more than just laboratory testing.
Oh, why? What do you mean?
Well, you see, ma'am, some drug products can be made more effective if they're tested by actual use. And that's why, in a lot of instances, the makers of Rexall drug products conduct what they call use trials.
Use trials?
Yes, ma'am. Suppose Rexall scientists have developed a new throat lozenge. Now, this throat lozenge may be ideal by all scientific standards, but you can't reproduce the human throat in a laboratory, so under the watchful eyes of Rexall scientists, as many as 200 people will try this lozenge in actual use, and for a considerable period of time.
Oh, I see. Each one of those people is a use trial?
Exactly. Some of them may not like the taste of the lozenge. Others will think it's too small or too large. Some may say it dissolves too fast, and still others, well, they may not like the color.
Well, all those things are important.
And that's exactly why these use trials enable Rexall people to make their products completely acceptable long before we ever get them in our stores. And that's another reason why we independent Rexall druggists are proud of the orange and blue Rexall sign on our windows. The sign tells the world ours are the only stores where you can get the 2,000 or more drug products made by the Rexall Drug Company. And we tell you, you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
Good health to all from Rexall.
This is Phil again. Next week is National Boys Club Week. Over 250,000 boys in 300 clubs throughout the country are now enjoying the benefits of the Boys Club movement. They're developing the character, self-reliance, and tolerance so needed by America's citizens of tomorrow. So support the Boys Club in your town. If you don't have one, start one. Good night.
Good night, and thanks. Good night.
This program was produced and directed by Paul Phillips. The part of Frankie Remley was played by Elliot Lewis, and Julius was played by Walter Tetley. Included in today's cast was Alan Reed. Alice Faye appeared through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox. This is Bill Foreman wishing good health to all from Rexall.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Hello again, this is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of the Jack Benny Show from the 1938-1939 season. This episode is special because it features Ed Sullivan. Ed Sullivan only appeared twice on the whole run of the Jack Benny radio show, once in 1939, this episode, and then once again in 1946. He would appear at least once on Jack's television show as well. But the most famous thing, of course, for Jack and Ed Sullivan is that Ed Sullivan had a radio show on radio in 31 or 32, and Jack was looking to break into radio. He was kind of leaving vaudeville and going to try his hand at radio. Ed Sullivan had a show, a sports show, and invited Jack to come on and do a bit. And so Jack came on, did his bit. The folks at the folks at Canada Dry heard the bit and were looking for someone to MC their show that they were going to be putting on. Asked Jack. Jack did it. Had, I think, a 13-week commitment. They famously didn't like his comedic jokes about their sponsorship, and he wanted to keep doing that, so they ended up dropping him, and he found another sponsor to keep going and change sponsors every once in a while, and ended up with Jell-O for a long period of time, and then of course Lucky Strike, and that started the whole ball rolling for him to stay in radio and then switch over to television. So that original appearance on Ed Sullivan has been lost to time. We don't know where that exists anymore. I would love to find that someday. But when Jack did an interview with on the show Behind the Mic on for his 10th anniversary in radio, so it would have been, I guess, 1942, he recreated the entire bit, which is really cool. And so this, what I'm going to play after this podcast is finished, my introduction's finished, is that whole interview segment of the Behind the Mic show. So it's not the whole Behind the Mic show, it's just Jack's part of it, which is about 5 minutes long. But it will include an entire recreation of the original Ed Sullivan appearance with the correct dialogue and everything, because Jack had brought the original script, apparently, that he had worked with for the bit. So that's pretty cool that that exists, and here you get a chance to hear it. And then the other thing that you might want to know about Ed Sullivan is, of course, that Ed Sullivan's most famous for having the longest running variety show in the history of television. It ran for 23 years and hugely popular. And he's, of course, famous for introducing stars like the biggest ones are probably Elvis and the Beatles. So it's pretty cool to have him on the show. I hope you enjoy this wonderful recreation of Jack's initial first appearance ever on radio when he was on the Ed Sullivan Show. And then I hope you enjoy the episode. So let's get to it.
Thank you, George Hicks, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. As George has already told you, Jack Benny will be honored on his 10th anniversary in radio at the gala banquet this coming Friday night, May 9th, at the Biltmore Bowl of the Biltmore Hotel here in Los Angeles.
Gee, I'm nervous already.
Since Jack is one of the very few radio stars who can point to such a record of achievement, it is only fitting that he should appear on today's broadcast of Behind the Mic. Both Jack and I have just left rehearsal for today's Jell-O program, and while the cast continues across the hall, we've come over here to this little studio to take part in Behind the Mic for a few moments so that Jack can answer some questions about his career in radio, and I'll try to put myself in the role of a typical Jack Benny fan. First, Jack, here's a question that especially fits the occasion. Supposing we go back 10 years and have you tell us about your very first appearance on radio. What was it like, and was it a sponsored show or on the cuff like this one?
Well, Stu, or Don, I went on the radio for the first time early in 1932 when Ed Sullivan, the Broadway columnist, invited me to make a guest appearance on his program in New York.
Do you remember what you said?
No. Oh, yes. I'll never forget it. Look what it got me into.
Well, let's hear about it.
All right, I'll give it to you. Now, just to illustrate how times change, particularly in radio, it was a little monologue affair where I walked to the microphone and said, ladies and gentlemen, this is Jack Benny talking. There will be a slight pause while you say, who cares? Now, that was funny then, Don. It may not sound funny now, but they screamed at it then. Anyway, I went on. I said, I am here tonight as a scenario writer. There's quite a lot of money in writing scenarios for pictures. Well, there would be if I could sell one. They even laughed at that then. Anyway, I'm going back to pictures in about 10 weeks. I'm going to be in a new film with Greta Garbo. They sent me the story last week, and it's a very novel idea. When the picture opens, I'm found dead in the bathroom. I hear? Now, they screamed at that, Don. Imagine 10 years ago. Anyway, I was found dead in the bathroom. I say, it's a sort of a mystery show. I'm found in a bathtub on a Wednesday night. I should have been in Miss Garbo's last picture, but they gave the part to Robert Montgomery. You know, politics. The funny part of it is, I'm really younger than Montgomery. That is, I'm younger than Montgomery and Ward. You'd really like Garbo. She and I were great friends in Hollywood. She used to let me drive her car around town. Of course, she paid me for it. Well, that was it, Don. That's what I said when I first went on the air. That was my first crack at radio.
Well, Jack, if you don't mind my saying so, it sounds a bit like a vaudeville routine.
That's true, Don. Don't forget that radio was unknown to me then. I didn't know whether it was good material or not. I could judge only by stage standards, particularly vaudeville, where I had gained most of my experience.
What was the reaction to your first broadcast, Jack?
Nobody liked it but me. However, on the strength of it, I landed my first radio commercial just 2 weeks later.
Well, I don't blame you for saving the script as a souvenir. But tell me, Jack, when did Mary Livingston start her heckling career on the air with you?
Oh, she's been in my hair since June of 1932. But she did all right by herself before that in Porterville.
When was that?
Well, about 12 years ago in New York. And it all happened because the girl who ordinarily worked with me became ill just before the show one night. Mary volunteered to substitute, and she's been working at it ever since.
I think that our listeners would like to hear something about the other members of the cast, Jack. Take Rochester, for instance. How long has he been with you?
Well, Rochester started with the program back in 1937 when he won an audition over 50 other contenders for the role of a Pullman porter. Just a bit part that we had written in for one broadcast only.
But it didn't work out that way.
That's right. He was so good that we kept him on for another week, then another, until he finally became a regular member of the cast.
Well, Jack, I'm often asked about the preparation of your program. How long does it take on the average?
Well, we never stop working. The schedule is something like this. After a Sunday night broadcast, I get together with Bill Morrow and Ed Beloyne, my writers, and we hand over different ideas for next week. Then we meet early Monday morning and start working. That goes on throughout the week until our first rehearsal, generally held either Friday or Saturday, then rewriting Saturday night and Sunday morning for the actual broadcast.
You know, Jack, when Mort Lewis asked me to interview you today, he made a specific request that I inquire about your fan mail. He'd like to know about some of the odd and unusual letters that you receive each week.
Well, they are odd and unusual. Honest, Don, you should have my tinfoil troubles.
Tinfoil troubles? Now, what does that mean?
Well, you remember the program early this season when I talked about my collection of tinfoil?
Yes.
Well, ever since that time, Don, I've received letters by the hundreds containing bits of tinfoil to be added to my collection. Believe me, I must have gotten at least 30 pounds of it. And that doesn't count the letters asking me to give the tinfoil to various charities.
Well, Jack, no interview with you would be complete without a few words about your classic feud with Fred Allen. Now, did Allen make the first crack at you or vice versa?
Well, naturally, Don, he started it. I wouldn't say anything nasty. Well, here's what happened, Don. A few years ago, when Allen had amateurs on his program, a little 9-year-old kid named Stuart Cannon played the B on his violin. And when he got through, Allen made a crack that Jack Benny couldn't do that. He ought to be ashamed of himself. Naturally, I was wounded. So I let my nails grow and clawed back. And as many times I've given him a good scratching, I have yet to strike blood. Anyway, Don, that's how it started.
And it's been going on ever since.
Yes, sir.
Well, Jack, we're just about through now, and as it's your anniversary, of course, you get the last word.
All right, Don. I just want to thank Mort Lewis for the invitation to appear on today's broadcast for Behind the Mic.
That goes for me, too, Jack. We now take you back to New York.
Heading the list was this item. 3 packages of Jell-O, orange, lemon, and strawberry. Mr. Lapworth writes, I didn't realize that Jell-O has been on the market so many years, but I wish I had a dollar for every package we've bought since our first order. For Jell-O makes a bang-up dessert, easily made, more easily eaten, most easily digested. Well, thank you, Mr. Lapworth, and ladies and gentlemen, that's the way Jell-O keeps its friends right down through the years. It's been America's favorite gelatin dessert for over 40 years, and no wonder. For it's Jell-O that brings you that delicious extra-rich fruit flavor which can't be topped for tempting goodness. So look for those big red letters on the box. They spell Jell-O, and Jell-O spells a treat. That was Jericho, played by the orchestra. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we bring you our master of ceremonies, that suave comedian and sophisticated humorist, Maxwell Stroud.
Now, wait a minute, Don. I refuse to accept that introduction. No matter what Fred Allen says, I'm not Maxwell Stroud. Now, change it immediately.
Okay. And now, ladies and gentlemen, this being the first week of spring, we bring you that quince on the fruit tree of life, Jack Benny.
That's better. Anyway, hello again. This is Jack Benny talking. And Don, thanks very much for that royal introduction. It was awfully nice of you to call me a prince.
Oh, don't mention it.
I'll see you later. But you're right, Don. Spring is here. Flowers are blooming. Trees are budding. It's getting warmer every day.
It sure is. Oh, by the way, Jack, have you taken your long underwear off yet?
No, I always unveil in April. But you know, Don, this spring weather has done my cold a world of good. I tell you, it's simply marvelous to be living here in sunny Los Angeles. Yes, sir.
Sunny? Why, Jack, there hasn't been any sun here in over 2 weeks.
Of course not. It's gone to San Francisco for the fair. But it'll be back. I am looking much better, though, don't you think?
Oh, you certainly are. And incidentally, how's Carmichael, your polar bear?
Oh, he's fine, Don. Getting along swell now. You know, I've been taking him out for long walks nearly every day.
You and the bear?
Oh, sure. And you know, Don, I was so embarrassed yesterday. So we were strolling down Hollywood Boulevard, and all of a sudden, Carmichael pulled out a tin cup. Oh, I don't know where he got it.
Not much you don't.
Phil, I was talking to Don. But as long as you're here, I want to thank you for taking my place on the program last week when I was sick in bed.
That's all right, Jack. Say, those jokes of mine were pretty hot, weren't they?
Hot? They were warmed over, if that's what you mean. Hot. You got the next line, Phil. Go ahead. What are you waiting for?
You just ain't modern, that's all.
Modern? What a combination. Corny and illiterate. Hmm? Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello. Say, Jack, I saw you and your polar bear on the boulevard yesterday. Boy, what a crowd you had around you.
Yes, we were quite a sensation, weren't we?
Yeah, but I thought you were overdoing it with your violin.
Now, Mary, don't jump at conclusion. It just so happens that I was taking my violin to the repair shop.
Sounded all right to me.
Now, Mary, don't make up things. You know very well I was not playing that violin.
Then why was the bear dancing?
Because the pavement was hot and keep still. Gee whiz, the way you're questioning me, you think I didn't have an amusement license. Now, let's forget it.
What territory are you working next week?
Westlake Park. Will you be there? We start out with a program about spring, and here we are in Westlake Park.
Shall I unpack the lunch?
Now, stop this. Phil, I think you better play a number before the ants spoil our little picnic.
Okay.
Oh, no, you don't, Phil Harris. I just wrote a poem about spring, and you're all going to hear it.
Now, Mary, we're not going to listen to a lot of...
You are, too.
Oh, all right, get it over with. What's the title of your poem?
When it's springtime in the Rockies, I will throw some rocks at you.
Now, there's a sentimental thought. Go ahead, Mary.
Winter, you have gone away. Where you are, I cannot say. But spring is here, and birdies sing. Gee, I'm happy. Pling, pling, pling.
Pling, pling, pling. What's that for?
I'm playing a banjo.
Oh, I didn't see it. Continue.
I saw a robin not long ago making a nest of grass and snow.
Snow?
And then I saw an old blue jay building his nest in Jack's toupee.
Now, isn't that silly?
Yesterday, I spent 2 hours watching the bees among the flowers. Buzz, 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 they were making honey. And I got stung where it wasn't funny.
Well, it's your own fault.
Last verse. Take it, Don.
You can have your spring with birds and bees. I'll take a dish of Jell-O, please. It's tempting, delicious, and oh so divine.
All out, folks. It's the end of the line.
Well. That was very good, both of you. Now, Phil, if you'll put down your nail file, how about a number? What's it going to be?
I'm going to play a little ditty entitled, We Don't Know Where Mom Is, But We've Got Pop on Ice.
Ooh. Phil, now you pick up that baton and redeem yourself. We got pop on ice.
Thank you.
going to get some shut-eye played by Phil Harris. I don't know where Mom is, but we got Pop on ice. Wow. Phil, no kidding. How can you possibly be so corny?
Corny? I resent that, Jack. I'm high class.
All right, then have it your way. You're cream of corn. Say, that was a fast one, eh, Barry?
Yeah, that was a stinger.
Well, I'm glad that's over with. I was a little worried about how you were going to read that. And now, folks... since our feature attraction this evening is rather long, I will start announcing it without further ado. Tonight, the Busy Benny Bumpkins will present a hotel mystery drama entitled...
Say, Jack, look at Kenny standing over there biting his nails.
Oh, yeah. Hello, Kenny.
Hello.
What's the matter with you?
Nothing's the matter with me, that's what.
Now, Kenny, I know there's something bothering you. What is it?
Well, I'll suffer alone, thank you.
Kenny Baker, I don't want you coming in here with a long face. Now, what's wrong?
Did you ever buy a ticket on the Irish sweepstakes?
Yes.
Did you win?
No.
Well, put yes and no together and leave me alone.
Oh, so that's it. Listen, Kenny, everybody can't win. You bought a ticket, so what?
$2.50 shot to Dante's Inferno.
All right. Don't be such a hard loser.
Look who's talking.
Quiet. And now, folks, getting back to our play, in our hotel mystery, I will play the part of the clerk, or Clark, as they say in England.
Or Cluck, as they say in Waukegan.
Phil, have you so much money saved up that you can afford to ad lib at random? If not, I would suggest less levity. Now, let's see. I'm going to be the clerk, and Mary, you're going to be the telephone operator.
Okay. Say, Jack, why don't you be the house detective?
Because I don't want to. I'm going to be the clerk.
Gee, two flat feet gone to waste.
Never mind that. Now, this murder mystery will go on immediately.
I'll never eat another Irish potato, believe me.
Kenny, will you forget about that sweepstake ticket? Now, folks, as I've been trying to say, this murder mystery will go on immediately after... Come in.
Pardon me, is this the Jell-O program?
Yes, it is. What can I... Well, of all people, Ed Sullivan. How are you, Ed?
I'm fine, Jack. How are you?
Well, this certainly is a pleasant surprise. Nice of you to drop in, Ed. We're doing a swell play tonight. You'll enjoy it.
Well, thanks, but to tell the truth, Jack, I really came up here for another reason.
Oh. Well, it's sure good to see you again. Say, Ed, I don't think you've ever met my gang. This is Mary Livingston, our leading lady.
How do you do, Miss Livingston?
Mary, this is Ed Sullivan. He writes a very famous newspaper column.
I never saw my name in it.
Mary. Don't mind her, Ed. She's a little blunt.
She's a little brat, too.
Yes. Yes. She is. Now, there are Don Wilson and Phil Harris. Harris is the one with the false eyelashes. Right there.
Oh, I know them both. Hiya, fellas.
Hi, Ed.
And, oh, yes, I want you to meet our young tenor, Kenny Baker. Kenny, this is Ed Sullivan.
Hello, Kenny.
Oh, an Irishman, huh? Give me my $2.50 back.
Kenny. Mr. Sullivan has nothing to do with the Irish sweepstakes. You see, Ed, he's a little upset because he didn't win.
Oh, come now, Kenny. I bought a ticket and I didn't win either.
Oh, a sucker, huh?
Kenny, I've had about enough from you. Now go over in the corner and lay down.
Jolly little troop you have here.
Yes. Well, Ed, we're just about to put on our little play, so sit down and make yourself comfortable.
Now, wait a minute, Jack. I didn't come up here to watch your program. I'm here as a reporter.
Oh. Well, what's on your mind, Ed?
I want to get the lowdown on this Maxwell Stroud stuff. Now, what about it? Are you Jack Benny or Maxwell Stroud?
Ed, believe me, I'm Jack Benny. And until 2 weeks ago, I never even heard of Maxwell Stroud.
Well, last Wednesday night, Fred Allen had the real Jack Benny on his program, and a notary public from Waukegan approved it.
Now, wait a minute, Ed. You and I have been friends for a good many years. We started on our careers at the same time. We've palled around together from the bright lights of Broadway to the battle-scarred trenches of France.
I don't remember that.
Well... We've stuck together through thick and thin, you and I, the two of us. We've called each other buddy. Now, whom do you believe, me or the notary?
The notary, buddy.
Well, maybe I didn't build it up enough. But look, Ed, regardless of what Alan said, you know that my name has always been Jack Benny.
Well, you could have changed it, you know. Take my case, for instance. My name wasn't always Sullivan.
Oh, no? What was it?
Hooligan.
Hooligan?
Yes, Edward H. Hooligan.
Oh, what's the H for?
Happy.
Mary. Now, look, Ed, don't pay any attention to Alan. I'm the real Jack Benny, and you can tell your readers tomorrow that I'm not Maxwell Stroud.
Well, let me ask you something. What about that ring you're wearing?
What about it?
Well, what does that M.S. stand for?
Mostly silver.
It does not. That M.S. on my ring stands for Master of Ceremony.
Master of Ceremony? Ceremonies begins with a C.
In Russian? Well, I got this ring in Moscow when I was playing Rasputin's Rivoli. I went over very big. Now, Ed, will you please sit down and watch our play?
Oh, no. I'm here for a story, and I'm going to get it.
Say, why don't you run out and get drunk like reporters do in the movies?
Don't evade the issue. Fred Allen has definite proof that you're an imposter. You're not Jack Benny.
I'm not, eh? Well, you call up Mansell Talcott, the mayor of Waukegan. He'll tell you. Why, he planted a great big elm tree in the public square in my honor. Call him up.
I tried to, but he wouldn't come down out of the tree.
Oh, is he up there again? Ever since he visited Hollywood, he thinks he's Tarzan. Now, we got a long play to do tonight, Ed, and I haven't time to discuss this any longer.
All right, Mr. Benny, or Stroud, or whatever your name is. I'll go, but I'll be back and get to the bottom of this, or my name ain't Edward Happy Hooligan Sullivan. Goodbye.
Goodbye. What a prying Prunella.
Why, if I were you, Jack, I'd have punched him right in the nose.
Now, Mary, how could I hit a man wearing glasses?
He wasn't wearing glasses.
Well, I am. And now, folks, our hotel mystery will go on immediately after Kenny Baker's song. Go ahead, Kenny.
How can I sing when my money lies over the ocean?
Sing, Kenny! I've had enough for one day. And where's my cigar?
Beat, loved one, we'll all
That was Deep Purple, sung by Kenny Baker. And now, ladies and gentlemen, for our play. That great hotel mystery entitled... Or... Now, the scene of our drama... is the lobby of the Hotel Chafing Dish, located in the thriving little town of Sterno, Pennsylvania. It is a dark and stormy night. Outside, the wind is howling and whistling. Gazoops, what weather. It is 8 p.m., just 1 hour before the stroke of 9.
What happens then?
Nothing. Curtain. Music.
Good evening, Hotel Chafing Dish. Here's your party. Good evening. What's that, sir? Oh, that's terrible. You'll do no such thing.
What seems to be the trouble, Miss Lavons?
Mr. Ferncliff in 503 wants to send some money down to pay his bill.
Money? What's wrong with that?
2 hours ago, he ordered some paper, green ink, and a picture of Lincoln.
Oh, is he doing that again? Last week, he gave me a $5 bill with baby snooks on it. Oh, well. What a night. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. I'd like a room, please.
Would you like a room with a bath, or do you want to follow the arrow? We have both.
It doesn't matter. I won't be here long.
I see. Front, take this gentleman's luggage up to 401.
Be careful of that alligator bag. It hasn't had lunch yet.
You know something? I think that guy is nuts.
Oh, tush, tush, Miss Lavons. He's all right. Well, sir, I hope you have a good night's rest. You look tired.
Yes, I had a tough day at Waterloo.
That three-cornered hat should have tipped me off. Yes?
Pardon me, but the folding bed in my room is stuck, and I can't get it down.
We'll take care of it, Mr. Baldome.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Good evening. Yes, Mr. Smith? What? There's a hippopotamus in your bathtub. Well, put your glasses on and apologize to your wife.
Mrs. Smith is a pretty big woman. Well, 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 how do you do?
Hello. I'd like a room. I just got married.
Oh, a newlywed, eh? Where's your wife?
Outside. She's carrying the trunk.
Carrying the trunk? My goodness, is it heavy?
I think so. She never had bow legs before. Here she is. You can put it down now, Sophie.
Thanks, Waldemar. You're so considerate.
Say, you've got her trained early, haven't you?
Yeah.
You ought to see me balance a ball on my nose.
Balance a ball?
That's the only seal I ever saw with a rabbit coat.
Quiet, Miss Lavons. What sort of a room would you folks like?
We want the bridal suit.
Suit? That's sweet, sweet.
Lay off of my wife, you masher.
I'm not flirting with your wife. As a matter of fact, I think she's very homely.
Well, that's more like it.
Front, take this happy couple up to suite 5B.
Let's hurry upstairs, honey. I don't want to miss the Lone Ranger.
Oh, I'm following that, too. Good night, kiddies.
Good night.
Hi-ho!
Gee, they're a romantic couple.
Good evening, Hotel Chafing Dish. Yes, 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 yes.
Who are you saying yes to?
My darling daughter.
Oh, how is Joni?
Pardon me, but the folding bed in my room is still stuck, and I can't get it down.
I'll get to it as soon as possible, Mr. Baldome.
Please do. Goodbye.
Charming fellow. Well, more business.
Good evening. I'd like to get a room.
Yes, sir. What's your name, please?
Phil Harris.
Oh, you better have baggage, brother. No stalling. Now, where are your bags?
Under my eyes, straight man.
Don't be so smart and get out of here. We have no rooms.
Okay, I'll sleep at the Wilshire Bowl.
What a show-off. Well, here comes Junior Wilson, the little devil. Hello, Donald.
Hello.
Now, Donald, a little boy like you should be in bed this hour of night. Don't you want to grow up to be a fine, strong man like your father?
That big tub.
Now, Junior, that isn't nice.
I don't care. I'm going to be a radio announcer. I want to tell everybody but Jell-O has 6 delicious flavors. Strawberry, raspberry, cherry, orange, lemon, and wine.
Now, don't forget the big red letters on the box. What do you got in your mouth? Now, go to bed. Good night, Junior.
Good night, Quince Face.
Quince Face, I had trouble with your father on that. You know, Miss Lavance, that Junior is a cute little rascal. He's got big blue eyes, just like his mother.
Yes, but his chins belong to Daddy.
Daddy can take the rap for his stomach, too. Oh, well. Yes, sir, what can I do for you?
Have you any rooms available?
Why, certainly. Quite a bad storm, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Will you be staying long?
No, just for the night. I'm on my way to New York.
Oh. A little business trip?
Not exactly. You see, I'm on a mission of great importance, and I don't wish to discuss it.
Well, I didn't mean to pry into your affairs, Mr.
Stroud. Maxwell Stroud.
Maxwell Stroud?
Well, slap me down and call me grumpy.
Please, Miss Lavance. You seem rather nervous, Mr. Stroud. What's wrong?
Can I trust you, young man?
Definitely.
Well, for 2 weeks now, a certain well-known radio comedian in New York City has been perpetrating a vile and vicious slander.
Yes?
He claims that a certain Jack Benny, whom he hates...
Yes, I know.
...is not Jack Benny at all.
Yes.
But really Maxwell Stroud.
But you are Maxwell Stroud.
Exactly. And when I get to New York, the whole world will know of the cheap trickery that's been foisted on the public by this nasal buffoon.
Well, I'm with you, Mr. Stroud. Here's the key to your room.
Thank you.
By the way, are you acquainted with Jack Benny?
No, but I understand he's revolting. Good night.
Good night. Well, Miss Lavance, that's very important news we just heard.
I'll say it is.
Pardon me, but the folding bed in my room is still stuck, and I can't get it down.
Don't worry, Mr. Baldwin. We'll take care of it first thing in the morning.
I wish you would. My wife is in it.
Oh. Well, I'll attend to it at once. My, this is certainly a busy night.
Hey, you, did a fella check in here a few minutes ago by the name of Maxwell Stroud?
Yes, he did.
What room is he in?
313. Wait a minute, who are you?
I'm Ed Sullivan of the New York Daily News, the Pittsburgh Press, the Hollywood Citizen News, the Boston Traveler, the Philadelphia Ledger, the Omaha World Herald, the Denver Post, and the Chicago Tribune.
Did you hear those shots, Miss Lavance?
Yes, they came from upstairs.
I suspected something like that. Follow me.
You don't think he'd go first, do you?
Oh, no. Come on, let's go. Good heavens. It's Maxwell Stroud. He's dead.
I thought so. Now we've got to find out who done it.
That's who did it. Fine newspaper man. But who in the world would want to kill Maxwell Stroud?
Look! Someone jumped through that window and he's running down the fire escape.
That must be the murderer. Did you get a good look at him, Happy?
No, I didn't.
Look, here's the derby hat on the floor. He must have dropped it.
Let me have that. Uh-huh. Look at the initials inside of that hat. F-A.
F-A?
Yes. That proves the man who killed Maxwell Stroud was none other than... Yipe! He got me. Ooh.
Who shot you? Tell us, who shot you?
Yes, who done it?
I told you before, that's who did it. I was shot by... I was on nuts, Playfield.
If your family is feeling just a touch of spring fever, here's a dessert that will make them sit right up and take notice. It's the most delicious butterscotch pie that ever nestled in a crisp brown pie crust. Or you make it with Jell-O butterscotch pudding. And let me tell you, it's a treat. Creamy, smooth, and golden. Tempting to look at and taste. Rich with true butterscotch flavor, the real old-fashioned kind. And it is easy as pie to make. No fussing around with the filling, for you just prepare your Jell-O butterscotch pudding as usual, according to the simple directions on the package. Then let it cool, pour it into the baked pie shell, and, well, there you are. If you want to be extra grand, cover your butterscotch pie with a foamy topping of whipped cream. The family will love it. They'll love Jell-O chocolate pudding, too, and Jell-O vanilla pudding, for all three have the real homemade goodness. So ask your grocer tomorrow for Jell-O butterscotch, chocolate, and vanilla pudding. And be sure to make that butterscotch pie.
Thank you, Ed Sullivan. We're a little late, folks. Good night.
J-E-L-L.
Kenny Baker appears on the Jell-O program through courtesy of Mervyn LeRoy Productions.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.